woman shear. When I say lady shear or woman shear, what's more mechubad? What's a more lady shear in Chayos Halbavos Sunday afternoon Shara Bechina? It's Yud. What is it? Chav Vav. Chav Vav Chesha. Okay. So we're learning Shara Bechina, and I think every 2-3 weeks it's good to remind ourselves what the point of all this is. It's not to become educated people. Like you say, you want to be educated. But there's a very specific point in Avodas Hashem, and that is that Shaar HaBechina, I'm just going over what he writes in the Hagdama, because it's worthwhile to remind ourselves of this. And as we know from the Chagos HaLavos and from all the Sfarim, if you don't say something over, and you see from advertising, Madison Avenue, that if you don't say something over and over and over and over again, it just doesn't sink in. If you want something to sink in, especially something that's against the grain of everyday life, because we go through life, and as the Chazal explains, we don't think about these things, we take them for granted. So we have to remind ourselves what we're doing. We're learning, we're fulfilling what the Chazal HaLavos says is an absolute obligation on every person to observe the universe, to study it, and that includes the seven disciplines that he says in his introduction. It includes history, it includes events of your life. He focuses here on a person's growth, because he says that's the closest to you, that you can't escape that, that's the most inescapable thing. To study it and to see the wisdom and planning and complexity and design of everything, and therefore being convinced that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world, and to develop the midah of that's on one end, and on the other end, if you do these things, you become suffused with gratitude, which is the step to Avodas Hashem, as he develops in Shaar Avodas Elokim. Because Avodas Hashita is that our Avodas Elokim is, the reality is, Hashem wants it to be, based on gratitude. We are thanking Him. This is we are wired to be makir tov when somebody does something for us. Koshkein, if someone gives us life, existence, and everything. And if you have all these complicated things that we learn in Shaar HaBechina, and as we study them, and we say, Hashem did this for me, we are enveloped with gratitude. And really, if we would think about these things as much as we're supposed to, we would go crazy thinking about them. We wouldn't know what to do with ourselves. We would say, and we do that. Yeah. We say, we can't. It's just not enough. So that's the importance of Shaar HaBechina. That's what we're supposed to be doing here, not studying biology or any. We're supposed to be developing gratitude to Hashem and developing an awareness of Hashem. So when you look at a leaf, or when you say Asher Yotzei, or when you eat a banana, and you think for a moment, a fleeting moment, like what is that? We're going to learn about it probably not today, but in the coming Shiurim, the complexity of the food distribution system of your bloodstream. And then you make a bracha. It's like, it's a different bracha. It's like, wow. He says there are three things that tear us away from Bechina, and that's why he wrote Shaar HaBechina. One is, it's kedai to say this every other class. We're too busy. People are busy with life. And being busy with life, first of all, too busy to think. As we know, unfortunately, we're too busy to think, because we're busy with what we're doing. Also, he says, we're busy acquiring things. That's how life is structured. We need things, we need money, we need food, we need menuchas nefesh, we need to get this accomplished, we need to get that accomplished. That's all acquisitions. We need to acquire things. But then we want more things. That's the nature of people. And then we get those things, and then we want more things. So we're always busy. We're always busy, we don't have time to think. So that's the first reason. Always busy, no time to think. The second reason is that from childhood we have all these things we're going to be talking about, or at least most of them, and then we're too young to appreciate what's involved, and so we stop, and by the time we get older and mature, we take it for granted and we feel entitled to it. So you don't feel gratitude, and you don't have this sense of amazement and gratitude and wonder and wow, this is Mamash Hashem. I'm looking at Hashem, so to speak. And we don't have that because we feel entitled to it, because we're used to it. That's the second problem. And the third problem is that life is full of bumps. Life is not smooth. So if a person has everything in the world, meaning he has a gallbladder, he has a pancreas, he has all these miracles going on, and that's just his body, and then you talk about the atmosphere, the photosynthesis, and all the things. And then he's sick, his leg hurts him, right? And he can't walk so well. And he goes, oh Hashem, you're so mean. That's a it's like a joke. So he wrote Shara Bechina to realize that no matter, and this is very important, no matter what your bumps in life are, and some people have more bumps, some people have less bumps. But one of the major, major things I learned as a Rav is that everybody has bumps. Really, that alone, I never thought about it. You know, everybody has bumps. Everybody has issues. That's life. So life is issues. So the Chagavoda says, when you have issues, you find it hard to think that Hashem is Molei Rachamim and Hashem is Molei Chesed and Hashem only wants what's best for us and Hashem loves us. So he wants to remind you, you know, something you could see, you could think, you could swallow, your body is fighting germs, and that's just, again, tipa shabiyam, and a drop in the ocean. So those are the three things that pull us away, and he wants to pull us back, and it's an absolute obligation. And he makes fun of people and Rav Victor Miller the way he says, you know, yes, Talmud Chacham, did you ever thank Hashem for your nose? He'll look at you like you're crazy, but he's the one that's wrong. And we should consider ourselves lucky that we're learning Chavis Halvavah, Shara Bechina. It might be boring at times, it might not be interesting you at times, but it's, and if it is, it should interest you for the right reasons. We're supposed to use it as a ladder to climb in our awareness of Hashem, in our gratitude towards Hashem, and in being able to lift ourselves out of the mire of these three problems which tug us away from gratitude towards Hashem. And you're supposed to think about it and look at things and maybe come up with some things yourself, you know, why this and why that, and why, and then you realize that there's Chasdei Hashem everywhere we turn. Okay, so we'll start before we're up to the brain in today's shiur in the Chavis Halvavos and Shara Bechina. But beforehand, I said to myself, you know something, I gotta do a little googling here about how wounds heal, because Rav Avigdor Miller says very unashamedly, very strongly, in many places on his tapes and in many of his books, that one of the purposes of people's troubles, it's a schus for me, if you think, wow, I don't have that, thank you Hashem, I fell down yesterday and I cut my finger and a miracle happened, the wound closed up. It was a miracle. Not like Rabbi Milinowitz, whose wound is open, and the nurse told me today some good news. Yeah. I said, it hurt me so much, and she touched it, you know, she was putting schmear on it and she was playing around with it, poking, smoking, and I was like screaming in pain. So she said, she didn't say Baruch Hashem, but she says, this is great news. So I said, tell me, please, I'm waiting for some good news. So she said, one of your problems is that you're borderline diabetic, and that's one of the problems. And but she says, one of the first manifestations that it's affecting your body is that the nerve endings die, and you have extremely sensitive nerve endings, and that's why the Rima that they put in, I said I had the most intense pain for 48 hours. I was But what happened is I took painkillers under David Ryan's, my friends, but then I was doped the rest of the week. From Wednesday to today, I was like detoxifying as if I'm a drug addict, and I was like coming off. And I felt it. I felt I was drugged because there's it's a narcotic. Wow. It's a very strong. Anyway, but so she said, wow, I want to tell you the good news of your pain. The good news is that your nerve endings are great, because that's what's hurting you. Because your nerve endings are exposed. And normally it has skin and this and flesh, and like it has a whole bunch of layers protecting the nerve endings. And your nerve endings are exposed, and the ear hurts it. And then it's exposed to the ear, mamash, the ear hurts it. But it's good news. The diabetes, to whatever degree you're suffering from that, it hasn't affected your body, because that's like one of the main manifestations, that nerve endings go dead. So I said, thank you. So thank you. You know, now I can thank Hashem that, you know, I lost a lot of weight. That's always a good thing. Maybe Hashem did this all to push me in that direction. And if that's the case, I thank him for that, certainly. If it was up to me, I wouldn't have undergone this. But probably, it certainly was Kedai, if that's what it did, and I continue on that path. And now I find out, you know, this borderline diabetes, and it didn't start affecting my body yet. That is good news. She's right. She's a very astute woman, this particular nurse. She's South African. She's not... She talks English. I guess that's why I like her. She talks English. It did work. But it really did make me feel better about the pain. So I said I'm going to, last night I said, before we go back to Tanzalova's text, I'm going to Google a little how wounds heal. And like anything else, I don't know where to start. It's nisin. The body is, it's like if you tore your shirt or your skirt and you left it alone for 3 days and you come back and it's fixed. And it's not going to happen, right? You can wait. What's called the sushelach siyaret, and the skirt is not going to mend that hole. And your body reacts to a wound in it, and it mends itself. And it's an extremely complex, programmed, phased. Three phases. It has names: inflammatory stage, proliferative stage, and maturation phases of healing. Your body goes through three specific phases of healing. The first one begins at the time of injury and lasts between 3 to 5 days. The body stops the bleeding that occurs at the time of the injury through, there's all these fancy words, through vasoconstriction, and blood cells called platelets stick together to form a clot. This temporary covering reduces loss of blood and protects the wound from the outside environment. Over the next few days, the body cleans up the wound and protects itself from bacterial invasion. White blood cells called, and there's two different kinds, migrate to the wounded area and start to remove bacteria and debris through a process called autolytic, you know, they have a name for it. The skin surrounding the wound will appear red, swelling, feel warm to the touch, and then, okay. Then the next phase, from day 3 to day 5, from day 3 to 5, and can last from 3 weeks to a month, depending on the severity of the wound. There's a reduction of swelling, pain. Your body starts rebuilding new tissue and capillaries. I mean, I'm looking at my skin now, and I see skin appearing and healthy flesh, and it's pink, you know, it's like a baby's flesh, and it's replacing cells and tissue. Wounds heal from the bottom up to the level of the skin. I certainly can see that. As the depth decreases, the wound begins the process of covering over the deficit. When the wound is fully covered, it's closed, but it hasn't yet healed. It is important to note that in full thickness wounds, the body does not regenerate lost tissues, but replaces what was lost with something similar. And this phase involves several cells and growth factors, and then there's special cells that produce special things The fibroblast cell begins the production of type 3 collagen and stimulates the growth of new capillaries. Like the body is a factory to heal itself. It has a cell that engulfs and destroys foreign material and microorganisms to reduce the risk of infection. It's scar tissue, new blood cells. It's like, it's amazing. Bekitsa, the first phrase, okay, I'll read from a different source. Fascinating is a good word for healing. Before you finish picking yourself up and brushing the gravel out of your knee, your body has already begun a complex process. The moment you cut or tear a blood vessel, the body is, anything to avoid saying Hashem, the body's superheroes of healing spring into action. Here's how the healing works. Blood vessels leading to the wound tighten to reduce the flow of blood to the injured area. Platelets triggered by enzymes leaked from the torn blood vessels. You know what that means? It means the torn blood vessels leak an enzyme which triggers the refuah. The platelets, they rush to the scene. These sticky, it's like an ambulance. It's like if your blood would trigger an alarm in Hatzalah to make Hatzalah come. That's what your body is doing. Platelets are rushing to the scene. They are sticky blood cells that clump to each other and adhere to the sides of the torn blood vessel, making a plug. Clotting proteins in the blood join forces to form a net that hold the platelet plug in place over the tear, and in just a few seconds or minutes, bleeding stops thanks to coagulation. The fibrin plug becomes a skin that will eventually fall off or be reabsorbed into the body once healing is complete. Once bleeding has been controlled, the next step is stopping infection. The blood vessels that were constricted now dilate to bring white blood cells rushing to the scene. You know, listen how they talk. White blood cells engulf and destroy any germs. And you don't think this is all triggered when you have a wound. This is all happening. You don't press a button. White blood cells engulf and destroy any germs that may have gotten into the body through the open wound. When the enemies of blood loss and infection have been vanquished, the body turns its attention to healing and rebuilding. Let's first stop the bleeding. Then there's a process that gets away germs and infection. And then we start the healing. Cells that are capable of forming skin and other tissue gather at the site of the injury. How do they know to go there? Who sends them there? And begin to produce collagen, which will eventually fill in the wound under the skin and create new capillaries to bring oxygen-rich blood to the recovering wound. Skin along the edges of the wound becomes thicker and gradually migrates under the skin to the center of the wound, where it meets skin from the other side and forms a scar. Scar tissue becomes stronger and stronger and fades gradually over months or years. It will have only 80% of the strength of the original skin. And it says, how you heal will be dependent on age, nutrition. You need a good supply of vitamin C. Smoking is bad for everything. Okay, this is probably written in a time when, now you have to look hard to find someone that smokes. Baruch Hashem. Stress can delay the healing process. This is what they told me also, that sometimes it's good to take painkillers, because if you don't take painkillers and you're soluble the pain, you're constricting your blood vessels and you're slowing down the healing process. But after what I underwent, I don't care. I'd rather suffer that than become a drug. It was terrible, but I had to take it because the pain was even more terrible. I think I'm rid of it now. It's like 4 days later, get it out of my system. Other infections or illnesses, diabetes, thyroid disease, high blood pressure, that's great, and poor circulation can decrease the body's ability to heal. So that's what's happening with me. And as I have these things, and they're impeding the body, but Baruch Hashem, what happened really, I neglected it. I left it alone for months. I didn't do anything about it for months. And all kinds of junk got in there. And till now, all the avoda has been to get rid of the bad stuff, to allow the body to heal itself. Everything they've been doing, and this, the rimach, it is just to eat, to get rid of the bad. It's not nothing to do with the healing. The body will heal itself. Baruch Hashem. I didn't take care of it at all, and these things accumulate. I mean, the body is not in tip-top shape. Obviously, if it was in tip-top shape, it wouldn't have happened. So there you have to thank Hashem that you're not overweight and you're not old, and Baruch Hashem, your body's working, and if you get a cut, it works. It's amazing. Amazing, amazing. Okay, we'll go back now to the Chavis Halvavus. And we're up to the words. We're up to the words. Bahamoach. Bahamoach Mishkan Hakochol Saruch. Bahamoach Mishkan Hakochol Saruch. This is Moach. It's right after the lave. We talked about the lave. And we're going to come back to the lave because we have to talk about how the blood send what the blood does to food. But now we're up to Hamoach. The Hamoach, again, again, over 1,000 years ago. He says something first that I couldn't find anywhere in Google. You'll see why in a second. You'll laugh. Because he's talking about things that ruchnius think of things, not just ruchnius, but he says amoach mishkan hakochos haruchnius. It's the seat of all spiritual faculties. Well, what does that mean? Who you are? Like, who are you? You know, we look in the mirror and we see what we look like, and we say that's me. No, it's not. It's not. The body is a levush, and we get rid of the levush after we die. But we are believing Jews, and we still exist. So who's we? We is our attitudes, our closeness to Hashem, our knowledge of Hashem that we've developed. Midos tovos. We should always remember. I'm saying this because midos tovos is a fulfillment of being like Hashem. That's how the Rambam. It's a very, very important yisod. The Ohavta L'Reacha Kamocha has a more important principle to it. And the more important principle is the Halachta B'drachav. You have to be like Hashem. You have to emulate Hashem. Hashem's a certain way. We get close to Hashem by imitating Him. He wants us to be like Him. And it's in various places in the Gemara. That's the description and the explanation of the halachta v'drachav. What do you mean to walk in the ways of Hashem? It's dveikus. You know, we talk about dveikus and we think, who knows what? We think of the guy shuckling Shema Esrei and who knows doing what? Bowing down very low. And dveikus is, the Rambam says, dveikus is emulating Hashem. Being like Hashem. I'm dovik b'Hashem. I want to be like you. Hashem acts this way. Hashem, mahu rachum afato rachum, mahu chanun afato chanun. The ultimate accolade, right? Hashem is a no sein, not a no tail. That's the Michtam Elio. Right? Hashem is the ultimate giver. Hashem has nothing to take. Hashem doesn't need anything. He only gives. He created the whole world, Ramchal says, only in order to give. We want to develop and become like that also. We want to be givers, not takers. And so who you are is midos, the midos you've developed, the knowledge of Hashem you've developed, the wisdom you've developed, emotions. This is all in the mind. This is the mind. This you're not going to find in Google. But the mind is a different mind. If it has junk in it from things we read and things we see, because the mind is a taking note, clicking, a camera, memory. You know, when people are younger, they don't. You read books, you read newspapers, everything is stored in the mind. And that's what you're taking with you to Olam Haba. So if you filled up your mind with junk, it's ironic, but I'll say over something Sherlock Holmes. I used to read Sherlock Holmes. But he said, because, you know, everybody knows Sherlock Holmes. Like, so. Wait, everybody knows Sherlock Holmes? So he was talking to Watson. I can't forget this. And like he didn't know the capital of France or something. So Watson says, like, how could... So he says, a person's mind is like an attic. He says, it's totally not no gay on me, what the capital of France is. It has nothing to do with my life, with what I do, with my values. It has nothing to do with it. So what do I have to clutter up my brain with junk for? The mind is an attic, he said. And the more you clutter it up with junk, so the less room you're going to have for other things, for important things. It's totally not no gay on me, what the capital of France is. That's basically what he said. What do I care? He says, if I would ever learn, he says, I know what the capital of France, I mean, I once learned it, and I spent a day to forget it. To get it out of my mind. I didn't want it cluttering up my mind. So, that's what the Chayim Zabov is. It's the Mishkan HaKochos HaRuchniyam. You shouldn't fill your head with junk. You fill your head with Yerushamayim, with closeness to Hashem. And that's in the mind. I mean, this is in Shara Bechina. There's a part of a person that they won't find. When they open up the brain and do brain surgery, they'll find the place that has memory. Yeah, that they can do. They could even find the place that controls your emotions and makes you happy and see it. They're holding dear also. They could touch something and like amazing. They could touch a part of the brain and the person will be happy because it'll like touch a memory of happiness. I talked about it once before Pesach. Our memories, there's two types of memories. Sometimes we could mamish relive the moment, and we'll even smell like you'll relive a very enjoyable, memorable Pesach Seder, and you'll be able to smell like the roast that was served at that Pesach Seder. You remember a chasana, and you'll remember like the sight. You'll remember what you'll relive it, not just remembering. There's a stronger memory that you relive it. Your mom is there, and that's what you have to do Pesach night. That's what I spoke about. You have to relive Yetzias Mitzrayim, but all that is in the mind, and that's it's amazing. I mean, this is sometimes called lave. This is here the Chayim Zabov calls it moach. He calls the sefer the Chovos Halavavos. That's a complicated inyan. I'm not sure what the exact answer is. Rabbi Avigdor Miller defines lave as mind. When he calls the sefer Chovos Halavavos, he calls it duties of the mind. Throughout Tanakh, lev, this is the best I can come up with. I mean, I have to keep working at it. The moach itself, if we talk about this, apparently it's just a mechanical machine. But what does the Chayim Zabov now say? It's the Mishkan, the seat of Kochos HaRuchniyah. It's like the link, what makes it alive. No, it's not just a computer, but what allows me to internalize what I've learned, what allows me to, there's some link to the lave. The lave is the seat of the emotions, the blood, the life source. So it's used interchangeably in Tanakh. Certainly in Mishlei there's always much overwhelmingly more reference to lave than moach. I mean, Mishlei talks about lave, chacham liyamin, lave ksil and small. Doesn't talk about brains, moach. Because that's the computer chip. But what makes it come alive and what makes it meaningful, what makes me have Yiras Hashem, if I study Chayvus Halvavus, what makes me feel gratitude is that there's some link, and that link, so sometimes it's called Lev and it's called Moach, and there's a link between the Moach and the Lev. I mean, if you would ask, you know, Ad Hayom, even scientifically, one of the big controversies is what's the seed of life, because the Gemara says that's brain death. Please, I hope there's not a lack of kavod for you. I apologize. I apologize, but please take it in the spirit that's being done. You'll send me an email if it's a lack of kavod. No, I'm serious. That's not respectful, really. You see this machlokas with brain death versus the traditional Chazal's lechora understanding of death, which is the heart stops beating. And you see this rayas back and forth, really where the nekudas achayim is, where the seat of life lies. Where is the neshama? What controls life? Is it the lev or the moach? And by tefillin, you know, you say you have the tefillin shol yad is lev, and the tefillin shol rosh is moach. You see what wins in my mind.
In my mind.
The mind is a computer, there's no question about that. But what wins out is lev. You see, Mishlei always says lev. And you see the consensus of poskim, it happens to be a very, very controversial thing, but the consensus of poskim is to stick with the beating of the heart as the definition of death, and not to give brain death not to make brain death the criterion, which a lot of secular society is trying to do, has done basically, and it's a big fight. And some from Rabbonim that can go along with that, and they have their rayas. But you see in Mishlei, you see. Even and when you talk about, maybe I'll call it applied knowledge. Maybe that's a good word. Applied knowledge. What effect? Like I could know that there's a Hashem in the world, but when we talk about like really knowing, what do we say? Oh, my best proof. The Yodato Hayom, the Hashevosa. No, El Bavecha. What does it say? You know it. That's up here. That's the computer. The computer has it in memory chips. But Vashivos Elavavecha, you have to reflect on it. It has to be meaningful. That's where it takes on life. That's where it becomes the seat of your actions, and you react, you internalize. The internalization, I believe, is in the lathe. So although he says that the Moach is the Mishkan HaKochos HaRuchniyim, what I'm saying is it starts from there. In other words, where does it start from? Where does my attitudes starts from the brain, doesn't start from the heart. My likes, my dislikes, what's important to me, my values, where I'm holding in Yedias Hashem, if I'm a caring person, if I'm a sensitive person, if I'm a selfish person, if I'm an arrogant person, and I'm not, all those things start in the head, then they like filter their way down, and there's a hook, there's a link. It's inextricably linked with the heart, and Lamaisa is the heart. So Rabbi Gnol is very interesting. He translates Levavos, Kavos HaLevavos as mind. I don't know what mind. You see, maybe mind, he's using it in a different sense. Maybe Moach is brain. So everybody's mode of the brain is here, not in the heart. That's where that spongy material is. It's all up here. But the mind is maybe more. The mind is what? Mishkan HaKochos HaRuchniyim, the seat of all spiritual faculties.
What do you think the ratzon is? Like your ratzon, like
that's
late.
But what that does is take the information that you've accumulated in your moach, and you perceive it a certain way. You see something and you say, "I want to be like that," or "That's tov." What makes the decision if it's tov or ra, or if I want to be like that or I want to be like that? Is this something that interests me? Is this something that I want to pursue? Is this a lifestyle I want to emulate? Is this what I want for myself? Right? We see hundreds and hundreds of things happening every day. And we're always making value judgments. Is this something I want for myself, for my children, for my household? Is this how I want to be? So that is already the filtering down of the brain gathers the intelligence and then sends it down to the moach to develop a ratzon. That's they're linked. Okay. Now he goes to the physical brain, so to speak. He said till now it's the seat of the spiritual faculties, and I explained how it's linked to the lave, and it is that. Umabua, meaning it's the source. Hahergish, it's the source of all sensation. Because it is now in Poshut and physical. B'shorish ha'atzabin. Okay, let me read a little. When we feel with our fingers that something is cold or wet, that feeling is taking place in the brain. It's not taking place in your fingers. The feeling is in your brain. When we feel the sharpness of a thorn or a nail, the feeling is in the brain. The sensation is nothing more than an electrical signal carried by the nerves. When the signal gets to the brain, I don't know what they called it before they discovered electricity, it is only when that signal gets to the brain that it is interpreted as a sensation. Hearing is in the brain, seeing is in the brain. All experiences of the body occur in the brain. The nervous system, which is in the brain, the nervous system is in the body, is an extremely complex network of nerves which are like wires made up of special cells that are interconnected throughout the body. These nerves use electrical impulses to gather information about what is happening in every part of the body. This information is analyzed in the central part of the system, which is the brain and the spinal cord. The brain communicates with the rest of the body by the nerves, sending out instructions to all parts of the body what to do and when to do it. You know, we think it happens automatically. It happens automatically because we're not consciously thinking about it. But the brain is sending a signal to the stomach to digest the food. We just don't have to consciously order it to do so. The internal organs of the body, such as the heart, stomach, and intestines, are regulated by a part of the nervous system called the autonomic nervous system. In most situations, we're unaware of the workings of this system because it functions in an involuntary manner. We don't notice when our blood vessels change size. We don't notice when our hearts beat faster. Well, yes, we do. It is up to the conscious brain to decide when we're in danger and when we can relax. A subconscious part of the brain then tells various master regulator nerves in the spinal cord to adjust the body functions accordingly, like a thermostat. For example, if we're in danger, the heart beats faster, blood pressure increases, digestion slows down, blood vessels feeding the digestive organs become constricted to slow down the flow of blood to those organs. At the same time, the blood vessels feeding the muscles of the limbs and the lungs are dilated so that the person will have more energy to run away from the danger or to defend himself. When a person's brain decides that he should urinate, the sphincter muscle relaxes, releases the flow of urine from the bladder. At the same time, the muscle walls of the bladder tighten, squeezing the bladder to eject the urine. The functions of the body are all under the control of the brain. If the person had to control all of the involuntary functions of the body consciously, he would not have any time to think. It is a chesed Hashem that he designed our nervous system so that our conscious mind is freed from the mundane chores of keeping the body running as it should. Any small impairment of the brain can change a normal person into a cripple. Without proper functioning of his brain, he might not be able to move his arms, eat, walk, talk, or think. The impairment is not in the leg or the tongue. The impairment is in the brain. So when you say, Atachoni lo damdas, and you thank Hashem, or you say Modim, and you thank Hashem for your... for that quiet organ in your head which you never thought about. Some people have never thought about it all their lives. I'm reading from Rabbi Miller, obviously. You are fortunate to be learning Chavis Halavis, so at least you get to mention it once. Some people may think it's not important enough to pay attention to, but when you realize what a great kindness Hashem did for us in giving us such a complex and powerful system, we surely owe him a debt of endless gratitude. Now, I took some notes here. Of course, he's not so myrich, so I have these books here. So let me just read you a little. Let's see the page. The brain is this is a nice booklet written by the fellow in Staten Island, Moshe Goldberger. 30-day program to thanking Hashem. And he has every day what to think about. Anyway, this is in day 16, is the mind. So one of the things is the brain is extremely miraculous. It has been estimated to be capable of storing 15 trillion separate pieces of information. It could simultaneously receive and transmit as many messages as 1,000 large telephone switchboards. Okay, that doesn't mean anything to us, you know. Design the world. 92, 93, 94. We'll stop here. The amazing descriptions of what goes on, like when you lift up a glass of water to drink it and you drink it, like all the things that your brain has to do just to take a glass of water and drink it. And all this is happening. It's not like a fairy tale. It's happening. A man wishes to lift up a glass of water to take a drink. The eyes provide the brain with a visual impression of the glass. The motor part of the brain instructs the body to move forward towards the table. The motor area positions the hand and the arm, shifts the rest of the body to maintain balance. Messages have been flashing from the brain down to the spinal cord to the subsidiary nerve center serving the arms, and from there the message is transmitted along a series of nerves to the fingertips. On the way to the fingertips, the signal triggers off other actions in the arm and the wrist. The arm lifts and reaches out, the wrist turns, and the fingers close around the glass and grip it. As the fingertips touch the glass, information is sent back to the sensory area of the brain. When the fingers have exerted enough pressure to hold the glass, this information has been gained from previous experience and is stored in your memory bank. Without this memory, a person would continue to exert pressure on the glass until it's smashed. A message flashes to the brain saying that the hand is ready to lift. Within 1/1000th of a second, another message from the brain shoots down the nerve pathways of the arm and hand, instructing the hand to lift the glass to the mouth. Eyes and fingers tell the brain that the glass is tilting, and the brain instructs the wrist to correct this. Sense receptors in the lips, and previous experience tells the brain that when the glass reaches the mouth, and the brain sends a message back post-haste telling the mouth to open and the head to tilt back. The water descends the food pipe. Very important it doesn't enter the windpipe. This is prevented by the epiglottis, a small flap of skin, stiffened. When we swallow, the epiglottis descends to close off the windpipe. Just a small feature of special design powered by the nervous system. Okay. So, Be'ezus Hashem, it's not nice to say, but I'm hoping there will not be